John Wesley was the co-founder of Methodism. We hit it? Woohoo! All right, the 100th time we referenced John Wesley as the co-founder of Methodism. Wow, seriously, congratulations everyone. Great job. I didn't think we were going to make it, but we did. Who'd have thought? Oh, all right, good job everyone. Right, John Wesley, as a prominent Anglican priest and theologian of his time, and I think we could say of all time, actually, I think we can actually call him an all-star, if you will, right? Batting second and playing center field, John Wesley, the co-founder of Methodism. And the crowd goes wild. All right, that being said, John Wesley was quite the theologian, and he used four different sources in contemplating and arriving at many of his theological conclusions. Now, these four factors or principles became known as the Wesleyan Quadrilateral. Now, the four factors are Scripture, Tradition, Reason, and Experience. He wanted to add, because my mama said so, but he only had room for four, so that's what you get. All right, Scripture, Tradition, Reason, and Experience. We are talking about the Wesleyan Quadrilateral on this episode of Jock Knows Church!
The Wesleyan Quadrilateral. Sounds ominous, doesn't it? Lighten it up a little. The Wesleyan Quadrilateral.
Batting third and playing shortstop, the Wesleyan Quadrilateral. Lateral.
All right, that was maybe a little bit of a reach. Not my best work.
The Wesleyan Quadrilateral is a relatively new phrase used to describe the principal factors that John Wesley felt highlighted the center of Christian faith. Number one, first and foremost, Scripture, the inspired and sufficient written word of God, the 66 canonical books of the Bible, the primary source and standard for Christian doctrine. Second, tradition, traditions of the church, centuries of witnessing the development and growth of the faith in many nations and cultures. Third, reason, discerning and cogent thought. God gave us a mind to use, so let's use it when we're considering our Christian faith, right? It's a no-brainer, or rather a full-brainer. And batting cleanup, experience. See, there I redeemed myself a little bit, right? Okay. It should be noted here that Wesley did not construct this exact formula, which is now commonly called the Wesleyan Quadrilateral. He built on his Anglican theological tradition by adding this fourth principle, experience. We each have our own understanding, our own experiences through our faith journey, and they are always a consideration. Additionally, the Wesleyan Quadrilateral wasn't Wesley's own label for these theological principles. It was a term coined by another theologian and scholar, Albert Outler, in 1964. Oh, Albert Outler. Say that three times really fast. Albert Outler. Right, whatever. Outler, Albert, actually edited some of Wesley's works, simply titled John Wesley. John Wesley. See, a little easier, isn't it? That's where Outler first referred to these four components as the Wesleyan Quadrilateral. And Outler actually commented later that he wished he never came up with the term because it's often misinterpreted. Many think it means that all four sides or parts are equal when they're not. He did not intend them to be equal, nor was it what Wesley was saying, right? Scripture is considered the most important. From there, all the other sources are dependent. It is believed by Wesley and United Methodists that these four principles taken together, Scripture being first and foremost, help the individual to come to a more mature understanding or realization of the Christian faith.
you'd like to know more, be sure to ask your pastor.
Tell him Chuck sent you!
Thank you. Good morning. Welcome you all to the worship service at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. How are you doing this morning? I'm so glad we gather together, you know, online to worship God together. It's a beautiful day. Would you turn to your neighbor and tell them, I love you? I love you all. You may want to, you know, say that in the chat. I love you. Yes, we are here to express our love for God, and we gather together to experience God's tremendous love for us this morning. Let us worship God all together.
Let us pray. As we quiet ourselves and come together in a spirit of worship, each from our own homes, help us to open ourselves to feel your presence, dear Lord. Open our minds to hear the good news through scriptures and song, that we may come a bit closer to knowing your will for us. Open our hearts. Fill them with your abundant love. Give us the strength to share that love with those we know and those who need to know your love throughout the world. Your comfort is a blessing and gives us hope, especially in these challenging times when we often feel alone. Open our eyes that we may recognize you in our everyday lives, so that we can say with true joy and thanks, I saw God today. God is with us and loves us always. With thankful hearts for your abundant blessings, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let us praise the Lord through this song. There is none like you. There is none like you.
Thank you. Amen. Amen.
Hi, everybody. Today, I thought we would talk about a passage from the book of Romans, which is a book, yes, that Paul wrote. And he was writing to the church in Rome, and he said, "Let your love be genuine." What does it mean for love to be genuine? What does it mean for something to be genuine, Jesus? Well, we'll have an idea. I want you to close your eyes for a second and imagine that you're hungry for cucumbers, which is one of your favorite snacks. So think about how much you want a cucumber. Now, ask me for a cucumber. Oh, sure. I've got one right here. Here you go. Here's a cucumber. But what if you were really hungry? You just pretended to eat it, but is this a real cucumber?
No.
No, this is a fake cucumber. This is a toy. Did that make you less hungry? No. So now close your eyes, ask for a cucumber again.
Can I have a cucumber?
Oh, sure. Ah, now what's this?
A real cucumber.
A real cucumber, and that you could eat that one.
Can I actually
eat it? You do like cucumbers. Let's hold off for now, because I've got another option for you. You can see we've got some really interesting cucumbers here. So, Joe, did you notice that the cucumbers that were in our little pot, that they kind of grew in like a little funny way? Or at least what we think is funny?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing wrong with those cucumbers. They just looked a little bit different. You know what? They were real. They were genuine. And sometimes the real thing doesn't always look like we expect. Like, this looks like a cucumber, but it's not real. And this one is a real one. But you know that the ones that come, that are freshest, are always the tastiest, right? So, the things that might be the best might not always be what we expect or look like. You know, when I was a kid, I was living in Germany for a little time that I was growing up, and there were some friends, there were some kids in our school that just, you know, they weren't very nice. And maybe some of you have had similar experiences at school. And it happens, but it's really hard. It's not easy to not be able to get along with people in your school. So they weren't very nice to me, and I tried to make friends with them, and it didn't really work very well. And, you know, but there was one kid who wanted to be nice to me. And, you know, he talked a little different and looked a little different than the other kids. And, you know, there was nothing wrong with him at all. Because he was a child of God. He was wonderful. But, you know, not everybody always saw that. But you know what he had? He had genuine love. He had love that was real. So when Paul tells us to let our love be genuine for each other, what does that mean? It means it doesn't matter where you are or who you are or what you look like. You are beautiful and made in God's image, and you have the Spirit of God who dwells within you. And she is moving and active and living in our lives and is able to empower you with a real, genuine love that matters and can make a difference in other people's lives and in your life. That's pretty cool, I think. Okay, so suddenly all this talk about cucumbers, for genuine cucumbers, has made you genuinely hungry. So before we chop this up and have some tomatoes and cucumbers, let's pray, okay? See? Can we pray? Say, "Dear Jesus, thank you for your genuine love for us.
Thank you for your genuine love for us.
Thank you that we can always count on you.
Thank you for that we always can count on you.
Help us to show genuine love to others.
Help us to show genuine love to others.
So that others can count on us.
So that others can count on us.
Amen.
Amen.
Next time.
Bye.
Beautiful. Amen. Amen.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. A reading from Genesis 3, verses 8 through 10. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." A reading from Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. "He is going to be the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." Words of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
A new pastor was visiting in the homes of his family members. This was just like me. At one house, it seemed obvious that someone was at home, but no answer came to his repeated knocks at the door. So he took out a business card and wrote Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 on the back of the business card and stuck it in the door. When the offering was processed the following Sunday, the pastor found his card has been returned. Under Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, there was this cryptic Genesis chapter 3, verse 10. After the service, the pastor checked out the citation and he broke up in gales of laughter. Revelation 3:20 begins, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And Genesis 3:10 reads, "I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid for I was naked." I know. Who originally said Genesis 3:10? Adam said it in the Garden of Eden. God came into the garden looking for Adam and Eve, calling out for them. And Adam responded to God, "I heard you walking in the garden. I was afraid, and I hid." Adam and Eve were hiding because of what? Because of their sin, their brokenness. Have you tried to hide from God and people because of your brokenness? Because of your vulnerability? Have you tried to hide because you had a low self-esteem? It seems that you are never good enough. You feel no one seems to care about you. It seems that no one understands your pain, your loneliness, your brokenness and vulnerability, so you try to hide. However, you may be too good at hiding. When playing hide and seek as a child, if you were too good at hiding, you might have felt abandoned at times. Likewise, you may be too good at hiding from God and people, so you may feel abandoned and alone. Can you hear somebody yelling? Alley, alley in comfrey. Somebody's coming to find you. Alley, alley in comfrey. Come out. Come out and be free. You may be trying to hide from God and people because of your brokenness, vulnerability, faults and flaws, or fears. You name it. Hear the good news. You don't have to keep trying to, you don't have to keep sweeping those emotions under the carpet. God is able and willing to find you and heal you. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. He was on his way to Jerusalem, towards Jerusalem. And this event took place in the last few days of a few days or so of his life. As he went towards Jerusalem, he was passing through the city of Jericho. Jericho was a beautiful city. It was quite cosmopolitan. It had wonderful wide streets, beautiful decorated, and it was one of the centers of Roman imperial power in the part of the world. As Jesus was passing through, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was chief tax collector and wealthy, very wealthy. As many of you may know, tax collectors in the ancient Roman world were viewed as a scum of the society. They were considered as the lowest and least esteemed ones. People considered them as the most immoral ones. There were two reasons why. First, tax collectors worked for the Romans. The Rome was the imperial oppressive authority over the Jews. So tax collectors were considered traitors. Second, they were considered immoral because tax collectors almost always financially ripped off their own people. And here we go. Zacchaeus was chief tax collector. He had the numbers of tax collectors working for him, and he was very, very wealthy. It means that he had ripped off a whole lot of people for a long period of time. The Jewish people hated him. They laughed at him. Nobody talked to him. One day, Zacchaeus heard about Jesus. Jesus was a religious person, but he hung around morally ragged people. And he had meals together with the prostitutes and tax collectors. So Zacchaeus was curious about this Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. Now Jesus was passing through the city. The crowds packed the streets. Zacchaeus ran to the street. He wanted to see Jesus, but the crowds were there. Unfortunately, the crowds were taller than he was, and he couldn't see Jesus. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. At this moment, he had to realize that he was short. Not only physically, but he was short morally, ethically, and spiritually. At the moment, he had to realize that he was so broken. So he ran down the street and climbed the sycamore fig tree to see Jesus. a sycamore fig tree. That's an interesting detail in the story. Why does Luke say Zacchaeus climbed a sycamore fig tree? Luke usually doesn't give details in his gospel. Then why not just a tree? This caught my curiosity, so I studied and learned, quote unquote, because the branches of the sycamore fig tree are strong and wide-spreading, and because it produces many lateral branches, it was an easy tree for Zacchaeus to climb, and in which he could easily be hidden. Oh, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but he did not want Jesus to see him. He was hiding. He was hiding. How about you? You want to experience Jesus, but you wish you could hide your brokenness from Jesus, like Zacchaeus? You have come to Jesus Christ, but you don't want to take off your mask, the mask of guilt, brokenness, and shame. As a matter of fact, you cannot hide from Jesus Christ. And you don't have to. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Jesus didn't care about Zacchaeus' occupation. Jesus didn't care about his reputation. It was Zacchaeus whom Jesus was concerned about. Period. In Jesus' eye, Zacchaeus was a human being whom God made in the image of God. Yes, he was morally ragged. He had brokenness and vulnerability. So he was hiding, but this was what Jesus did. In the midst of his hiding, Jesus came to Zacchaeus and found him. Moreover, Jesus invited him to be with him. "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." In the midst of your hiding, Jesus comes and he finds you. Then why does he do this? Because he loves you more than you will ever know. Because he has the greatest compassion for you. Are you emotionally or spiritually or morally in some way like Jesus? So trying to hide from Jesus? Then listen to what Jesus tells you. "Come down immediately. I must stay with you at your house today." When Jesus told Zacchaeus, "Come down immediately. I must stay at your house today," what did Zacchaeus do? He came down at once. He came down at once. He came out of his hiding at once and gladly welcomed Jesus. How exciting. However, when all the people saw this, they began to mutter, "Hey, he has gone to be the guest of sinner." The people still talked about him. It used to make him isolate himself from them. But it did not matter to Zacchaeus any longer. His self-esteem had been recovered because Jesus Christ had recognized him and told him to be with him. His grace. Jesus Christ's grace. Zacchaeus stood up and told Jesus, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, yes, for sure, I will pay back four times the amount." Now the money which had Zacchaeus' heart and had tangled him up became nothing to him. Something most important to him in the past became nothing to him now. When he met Jesus, he recovered his true self-esteem and began to act accordingly. Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Wow. "Today salvation has come to this house. The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." The word salvation literally means wholeness. Wholeness, opposing to brokenness. And the name man, the Son of Man, from the Hebrew Bible means the highest authority. Isn't it like a son of a Gino or a son of a James? It's not a son of a man. But the Son of Man from the Hebrew Bible, it means the highest authority. So in other words, I, the highest authority, have healed your brokenness. I have made you whole again. You are the reason that I came. My beloved siblings in Christ, know that God made you in the image of God in the first place. Know that you are the reason that Jesus Christ came to this earth. You are the reason that Jesus Christ died on the cross. Jesus wants to heal you. Jesus wants to make you whole again. There is no reason to hide from Jesus Christ. He already knows what you are struggling with. He already knows your brokenness, vulnerability, faults and flaws, and your pain and fears. Something beautiful, something good, all my confusion He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife. Did you hear me? Brokenness and strife, but He made something beautiful of my life. Amen? I say big amen. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something beautiful, beautiful in my life. Jesus Christ, our Lord, our healer, is able and willing to heal you. He will make you whole again because you matter to Him. Because He loves you. Because Jesus Christ, our Savior, has the greatest compassion for you. Today's salvation has come to you. I must stay with you. I must heal you today. I came to seek and save you when you're lost. What would you do? What would you do with His invitation? We'll talk about one of the great things you can do with His invitation next Sunday. Coming soon. Stay tuned. Remember, God loves you. So do I. And there's nothing you can do about it. Amen. Amen. Let us acknowledge Jesus Christ's invitation for us. May the Holy Spirit enable us to say yes to His invitation. Let us praise the Lord through this song. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Please join me in response to God's grace together. God wants our love more than God wants our offerings. God cares about our hearts, not the amount of our offerings. As we count all the blessings God has already given to us, we cheerfully give our offerings to God, the provider, with grateful hearts. Amen. Amen. I hope and pray that by now you have been practicing, that you prepare the offering and put it in the Bible and pray for all those people that God will reach out through our ministry. And then you may send your offering to the church, 435 Central Street, Acton, Massachusetts, or you check our website, and there are several different ways you can send your offering. Let us continue to do our mission and ministries and reach out to people whom God wants to reach out. Let us take a moment and count the blessings God has already given to us. You may want to share, you know, your blessings with your people sitting around you, or you may share that in the chat. You know, I'm grateful to God for this. I'm grateful to God for that. Let us do it. As you count God's blessings for us, and God may make us the cheerful givers. Amen? Amen. It's time for prayer. So let us pray together. Leslie Brew, please pray for peace and healing for Jacob Blake and his family. This is my prayer. This is our prayer. Dot Wurst, let us pray for the people who have lost everything in the fires and floods. May they not lose hope. This is my prayer. This is our prayer. Andrea Bonard, let us pray for all the teachers and instead going back into school buildings tomorrow. May their physical and mental health be protected. This is my prayer. This is our prayer. Aiden Taylor, please keep our kids in college that they be safe through this pandemic. They may be closing this week at Cadiz School in Virginia. This is my prayer. This is our prayer. Susan Lasante, Lord be with George in Kenya as he plans to restart the Toto Club. This is our prayer. This is my prayer. This is our prayer. Wayne Lasante, please pray for those who were in the path of Hurricane Laura. This is my prayer. This is our prayer. Lynn Osborne, prayers for healing for Andron. This is my prayer. This is our prayer. Irene Taylor, prayer request. My new job of 3 months has new responsibilities and duties. I'm nervous that I'll be able to meet the challenges and do a good job in all that I am asked to take on. This is my prayer. This is our prayer. Kalelia Solis, prayers for our Isabella, who is spending her first weekend away at college. This is my prayer. This is our prayer. I also would like to ask you to pray for my son Joshua, as he is moving into the dormitory this coming Wednesday. This is my prayer. This is our prayer. Let us take a moment of silence to pray for these requests. And if someone comes into our heart, then let us pray for them. Those who are in need of our prayers, let us pray. We have one more prayer request. Donna Yost, prayers for healing, Ruth and Edweb. This is my prayer. This is our prayer. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Now let us exchange the sign of peace with one another. The peace of Christ be with you all. I have several announcements to share with you. Yes, so thank you very much for all the worship leaders, and thank you for joining us in worship this morning. If you are a newcomer, or a visitor, please, send me an email so that we can get connected. And if you have any questions, please send me an email too. If you want a pastor visit, doesn't matter you have a membership here or not. If you want to have a pastor visit, keeping the distance with a mask or on Zoom or by phone, please let me know. Then I'm willing to, be with you. And thank God we have just finished, one-on-one and one-on-one family, gatherings with me by yesterday. And for the month of September and October, we'll have small group gatherings with the pastor, with me. So more information will follow. So please stay tuned. And we have this small group, spiritual development group at the foot of the cross. So here you go. Are you looking for a spiritual connection with others? Is learning more about how spiritual scripture relates to your life important to you? How about sharing ideas and receiving encouragement to follow Jesus? If so, please join us for the next 6 weeks as we probably, so 5 weeks because we started last week, 6 weeks, 5 weeks as we dive deeper into good news, today's sermon from the previous Sunday and exchange ideas about how we can apply these teachings to our daily lives. So our next meeting will be, the virtual gathering will be Thursday, August 27th at 5:30 via Zoom. September 3rd. Thursday, September 3rd at 5:30 via Zoom. And all are welcome. Zoom meeting details in the weekly news and websites. And the next Sunday is the Holy Communion Sunday. So please prepare, small bread, loaf of bread and grape juice at home. Then we'll share the Holy Communion together next Sunday. And after this service, we'll have a virtual gathering, coffee hour, on Zoom. So please join us. You can find the link on our church website. And the password is coffee hour. It's one word, coffee hour. Hope to see you there. My beloved siblings in Christ, now go in peace. With assurance, God is holding you up with God's healing hands. God cares about you. You matter to God. So with that assurance, may the Holy Spirit enable you to fully enjoy each and every day. God bless you all. Let us bless one another through this song together. Amen.